Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA with an amazing offer for new customers. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code KSN, bet just $5, any NBA team to win their game, and you'll win $200 in free bets. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's quarter number one, Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, how ugly, how frustrating. I'm choking myself up here. How ugly, how frustrating, just how aggravating could one game be for a Penn State fan?
Well, I mean, I think they went and they tried to find that answer for you, didn't they there, Jim? Now, the good news is history was made with the nine overtimes. And I know, I suspect we'll talk about just that idea of settling games in this fashion. But, I mean, in the end, the team that deserved to win, they won the game. Illinois won the game, and it wasn't fluky. Penn State had its opportunities without a doubt. And, you know, they're in a situation where they didn't deserve to win, and that's a whole nother issue to try to diagnose. But, you know, Illinois, they set out to do one thing. They did that thing. Everybody in the stadium knew they were going to do that thing, which was load up and run. And it just made the difference in the game.
You're right, and you brought up something, Dustin, just when I thought my weekend could not be any worse. You have to remind me that this is the 17th anniversary of what previously was the ugliest Penn State game of my lifetime, which was the 6-4 loss to Iowa. I guess the question becomes, which one was worse, 6-4 or 2018 and nine overtimes?
Oh, man, I mean, 2018, nine overtimes. The, you know, I'm sure there's not a statistic for this, but to play nine overtimes and still hit the under there has to be some historic significance to that too. Also, I don't think Penn State should ever play again on October 23rd. That's when the 6-4 happened back in 2004. And now this one, whatever this was, right in the same neighborhood as 6-4, though, in terms of the weirdness and in terms of the frustration and not knowing what to make of it, and the bizarre scene of going for two and then having to switch ends of the field between overtime periods because Illinois didn't want to go into the student section. I mean, you're gonna look back on this game with probably severe aggravation and anxiety, but you are never gonna forget this game, for better or worse.
No, and we're gonna try. But we've got the next hour to talk about it anyway, Dustin. And let's start. You mentioned Illinois on offense. Let's start there. They're running the ball. It's incredible. I don't know if I've ever seen seven offensive linemen in the game at the same time. And then I just last night watching Tampa Bay play, Tampa Bay did it. They put in two extra offensive linemen. But they also then added two tight ends, so essentially acting like offensive linemen. There were nine big guys there. I think that's a pretty good indication that they're going to run the ball. What did Penn State do when they said, look, essentially nine big guys up there looking to block the run? What should we do on defense at that point?
Let's play this thing straight up, Jim. You know, I don't think I'd be able to kind of sit from the television broadcast and be able to identify what Brent Pry was trying, what they were doing differently. But I just didn't really see a big adjustment being made. I'm not sure what the adjustment is, but what I do know is that they didn't mind Penn State knowing what they were trying to do. They just counted on being able to execute that better with a whole lot of big bodies up there and just try to win the math. You know, that's what the run game ultimately kind of comes down to, is just one-on-one, who's accounted for and who's not. And their offensive linemen, you know, and tight ends in a lot of these situations were getting not just through their first block, but getting to it at somebody else, which is why you saw all those safeties, why you saw Jair Brown have, 13 tackles in this game. They were just wiping out that front seven. And I, you know, like, as a football coach, I'm curious, maybe later in this week, you'll be able to get an answer from a real coach in terms of, in this moment, what do you do? How do you load up and try to counter all that beef up front? You know, Penn State's short on big bodies. Everybody knows that. I don't know if that was part of Brett Bielema's thinking or not, but I think we all kind of knew they were going to try to go into this game, hold the ball for as long as they could, run the ball as well as they could, and just let the chips fall. And that's where they fell. You know, it's pretty amazing, I think, for Penn State to give up 357 rushing yards and only have given up 10 points in regulation. So, you know, the defense really was an extreme bend but don't usually break. To me, I mean, I do everything in my power to try to get Art Sitkowski to throw the football, because that was just gold for Penn State's defense. It just didn't happen that much. 38 passing yards in this game on 19 attempts.
That's an incredible number. And the conversation I'll have with our, you know, T. Frank and Ross Tucker later this week, the guys who analyzed the film, and my question to them will be, and it'll be to you here, Dustin, is do you not treat this like it's a goal line situation? If it were fourth and goal from the 1 yard line, how are you going to play that defense against Illinois when they bring in all their big guys? What would you do? And did Penn State do those things? It didn't appear to the layperson that they did.
I mean, you risk oversimplifying the situation, but to me, absolutely. If they're trying to get as many big bodies on the field as they possibly can, and they're having all this success moving our big guys up front, then why not throw more big bodies at that problem? I have every confidence that whoever's on the field, whether you're bringing in seven defensive linemen or whether you're loading up on, you know, bringing in linebackers instead of safeties, whatever you're going to do, I have confidence that whoever's on the field will be able to make a play on an Art Sitkowski ball. We've seen enough of this quarterback to know that he's out of his element trying to win a game, trying to do much of anything really with his arm. So I didn't think there was a lot of risk to try to match up the best you can, just beefcake for beefcake up front. I understand, you know, no PJ Mustipher changes everything, but at the same time, this is off a bye week, which we haven't even talked about that yet, Jim. This team was coming off a bye week, able to make whatever big, small adjustments they want to make, and this is what came out of the tunnel on Saturday. That's a really troubling thing too, I think. Just the way that Penn State looks like they did not prepare over these 2 weeks. Whether that's, you know, reeling from Iowa, whether that's looking ahead to Ohio State, whether that was, you know, James Franklin and the coaching staff maybe really being distracted and carried away with that quarterback decision, so some of the other elements of the coaching slipped. I don't really know, but then in game, I didn't really see much of an adjustment either. That was just for you to know what was coming. And by you, I mean everybody who watched this game on TV and everybody who was in Beaver Stadium, and to just be helpless to it. That was one of the most painful things over the course of this 60 minutes, is just knowing what Illinois was going to do and them just being able to have their way with it anyway.
And another part of this that you've got to think about or talk about adjustments or lack thereof was the ability of Illinois to quarterback sneak, not just for half a yard, but for a couple yards. And it would look like he would get 2 yards upfield before someone touched him, before they were ready to stop him. So does that not in itself warrant an adjustment? If you're not going to do it on first and 10, how about on third and one?
I agree completely. I don't really think that question was asked of people who mattered. Right? Like, I didn't really see a response to that. What was the adjustment or what wasn't the adjustment as this is happening mid-game? Illinois, and be prepared for this, because I'm not sure what meaningful change Penn State can make to negate this, but Illinois knew where Penn State was soft, and they knew where they were light on bodies, and they just attacked that however they could. And it was like child's play trying to get movement up front from those interior spots without P.J. Mustipher in there. And the quarterback sneak was just one of the worst examples of it, that they were just able to get 2 yards, 3 yards at will with that play. Just all you got to do is get movement. And they did. And I think just the idea of relying on your linebackers to fill the gaps, and relying on, you know, backside pressure, and relying on your defensive ends to get around the corner and to, you know, set an edge and to pursue from the backside too, it just wasn't working in this game. Those backs were big and physical guys, and they were hard to bring down. You weren't going to do it with a lot of traffic around you. You weren't going to be able to be engaged with a block and still get Chase Brown to the ground, still get Josh McCray to the ground. Those are big guys, and the combination of all this was just too much. I really didn't understand why or see the downside of saying, you know what, let's try something radical here. They're doing something radical. Let's try to match that some way or another, instead of just saying, okay, let's just execute better. Because fundamentally, that just that was not working. Too many big guys were getting to the next level and just wiping out everybody, leaving Jair Brown and Jaquan Brisker back there. Joey Porter Jr. and Tariq Castro-Fields try to clean up those messes. It was just the same thing over and over again. I guess I just didn't understand why more adjustments weren't made either. I'm in the same boat as you. I don't have an answer for that.
And as you said earlier, this seems to be, you know, just a little bit of a math equation. It's arithmetic. I got more big guys up there than you do. But you brought up a good point. P.J. Mustipher, his absence, how big a difference did that make?
Well, speaking of the math with P.J. Mustipher, is that he was probably the only player on Penn State's roster who could be one guy occupying two guys on a lot of plays, or beating or winning one-on-one. He had to be accounted for usually with more than one player from the offensive line. And if that's immediately right off the bat, that's tilting the mathematical advantage towards Penn State. And now they don't have that. And that's okay. I mean, you have teams who are able to kind of get by without having that force up front. Certainly against a team like Illinois, I felt like Penn State's reserves should have been better, and they should have had more success with this, but they really missed P.J. Mustipher. And that's the discouraging part here, is that, yeah, Ohio State can probably have their way through the air if they want to, but I think you're really going to see them attack in the middle and just try to demoralize this Penn State defense as early as they can on Saturday.
And by the way, this offensive line of Illinois, was this not the offensive line that Brett Bielema said they didn't have one guy who belonged there? All right, that's it for quarter number one. Quarter number two, we'll go to the frustration on the other side of the ball. Stay tuned for that.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, has an amazing offer for new customers. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.